Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. As we absorb the meaning and implications of Trump's peace plan, it's important to point out what may look like peace is actually more occupation. Instead of peace, the plan highlights the pacification of Gaza and continued denial of Palestinian self-determination. Cross-talking Trump's peace plan, I'm joined by my guest, Stanley Cohen, in New York. He is a human rights lawyer. In Washington, we have Janine Yunus. She is the national legal director of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. And in Beirut, we cross to Ali Risk. He is a security and political affairs analyst. All right, cross-talk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want. And I want to ask all of you the same question. And before I ask it, I want to preface it this way. Yes, I have read the 20-point plan. I have read the commentary on it. I've watched the podcast on it. I've read mainstream media review of it. I've read rarely critical ones of it. And after all that work, many, many hours, I must say, I have brought it down to one question that I want to ask anyone that's interested in it. I'll start with Stanley. Is this a ruse? Because it doesn't make any sense to me. Stanley.
Of course it is. It's a scam. It's a scam from Netanyahu. It's a scam from Trump. It's a scam from AIPAC. It's designed to give the appearance of kumbaya, light a candle. We want peace. We want settlement and justice. But yet every single aspect of it is fiction. It's nonsense. The notion that Palestinians should be left to the intentions, the well-intentioned of Tony Blair and Donald Trump overseeing a complete genocide far greater than 2 years, but going back 100 years. And in the long run, it's going to produce justice and equality and help self-determination and present a government once again run by Western autocrats is bizarre. It's a comic strip. Unfortunately, it's a deadly one.
Yeah, Janine, it has to be a ruse because it, with the exception of the hostages, captives, prisoners, whatever what word you want to use, with the exception of that one point, the rest, it is so vague. You could put in different geographical locations and it'd still be, you know, a ruse of a plan because there are not many Palestinians in this plan here. Janine.
Exactly. There are basically no Palestinians in the plan. And furthermore, there's no sort of detailed requirement or timeline for anything other than the captives' return. So this permits Israel to just, you know, it could just do nothing or stretch things out. And we've seen in the past, we saw as recently as March, that they will get what they want, the hostages, and then they'll break the ceasefire and keep bombing. So I agree that this is nothing more than a ruse. And there's also no mechanism for Israeli accountability for the horrendous war crimes that they've committed over the past 2 years and also prior to that. There's no mechanism for investigation or war crimes tribunals that would have to be part of any just resolution to this.
You know, Ali, will the blockade be reintroduced? I mean, it begs so many more questions than it answers, okay? And it also is, so Arab countries are going to, or Muslim countries are going to send troops there to participate in a genocide? Donald Trump wants to be the genocider in chief, and you bring in one of the most odious people that have ever walked the earth, Tony Blair. This is a ruse.
I'm going to respectfully slightly disagree with what was said already. I think it's too early to say that this is a ruse or these are just theatrics. The reason I say that, of course, I might be mistaken, but I'm slightly hesitant to say that we can call it now a dead end. The reason is that there are two main points. Number one is the Israeli attack on Qatar. I think that attack changed the Trump administration's plans. I think Israel took a bit too far in terms of taking American support for granted in whatever actions it carries out. That's one aspect which I think made the Trump administration double down or intensify its efforts to try and reach some kind of a breakthrough. The second point is, I'm sure you've seen the polls which say that for the first time, more Americans are sympathetic with Palestinians than they are towards the Israelis. So given these two factors, it just might be the case that this time Trump really wants to achieve some kind of breakthrough. I agree that many of the points are vague, yes, But even when Hamas made its response, and it only responded partially, or it said that we accept the swap of the captives, Trump welcomed that, and that caught Netanyahu by surprise. So again, this time...
Janine, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I have a different interpretation of the fact that public opinion is changing, which is that this is meant to appease the public for a short time and distract from Israel's continued bombardment of Gaza, which it's actually doing as we speak, which also makes this hard to take seriously. I mean, if Israel was a serious peace partner, why would it be bombing Gaza right now?
Well, and also, Stanley, go ahead.
Let me just say one thing. Real problem, and I believe me, I have had an opportunity to take a very close look at the proposals and had discussions with people that are involved. The absence of any oversight, of any independent mechanism which can enforce under a particularized timeline, the presence of entirely ambiguous words, plus the fact once Trump does not get the Nobel Prize, he's got nothing left but to turn around and to go full on. What we know about Donald Trump and Netanyahu is they're both hustlers. They both victimize everyone else. They both turn around and say, poor us and woe is us, and they change their story day by day. This is a short-term plus victory. Yes, Israel might have made in the short run a tactical blunder by bombing Doha. Yes, Donald Trump right now is desperate to get away from Epstein. So there are all sorts of diversions. But the reality of it is once the captives are gone, and once the Nobel Peace Prize goes away, and once Netanyahu gets what is the immunity from prosecution for the three open criminal cases against him, there is absolutely nothing to deter them from continuing the genocide. Donald Trump has visions of beachfront condominiums. Why else would he send his son-in-law there with plans of a casino? The problem is, in a real world, in a just world, in a principled world, in a mature world that was seeking to end just this phase of genocide, there wouldn't be this ambiguity. There would be a control mechanism. What I would urge is for all those countries, especially the UK and some of the other Western countries that all of a sudden are slapping themselves in the back and saying we recognize Palestine, with the permission of Palestinian people, of course, put 20,000 troops on the ground to defend Palestinians from Israel. If you want to do something, it's nothing to say I recognize you. I mean, the U.S. and the West is historical for entering into self-determination
Well, Stanley, it's like me saying in pub, I'm against slavery. I'm a very courageous, but I'm against slavery. That's what that's the moral caliber of the UK. There's like, and of course, having the former colonial power, what you're establishing the mandate again? This is the beginnings of all the troubles, okay? Ali, one thing I think we all agree on this program, and it's about the release of the hostages. And that's the win that Trump wants. Then I don't know what he's going to be interested in, because he's concerned, it's done. I did it. I got them released. I want my Nobel Peace Prize. The rest of it, I think, is just minor details that his son-in-law might make some money on. Ali.
Indeed. Look, again, once the captives are freed or the captive swap takes place, things could collapse. I'm not denying that. But I would here refer to the fact that Hamas played it quite smart, in my opinion, by focusing, by saying to Trump, OK, we'll give you the captives. So they basically gave Trump what he wanted. And, you know, the images of having captives freed, that has its echoes around the world. And that could contribute greatly to Trump receiving the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, after that, could Israel go ahead and resume? That's possible. But I think that's something which we haven't focused on as much as we should is America's Arab partners, Qatar, Saudi Arabia. This is what distinguishes the United States from Israel. The United States has much broader interests in the region, not just Israel, by the way. Yes, it does have a special relationship with Israel, but it also has special relationships with the Persian Gulf Arab countries. In fact, in the case of Trump, there are extra special relationships with the Persian Gulf Arab countries like Saudi Arabia and Qatar. You know, he has very close ties with MBS, the Saudi Crown Prince. That might also factor in the way Trump approaches this particular plan, because I don't think he wants to lose these allies. That would give inroads, for
example. Yeah, but I mean, before we go to the break, Janine, I mean, if the past is prelude, I mean, Trump has caved to Netanyahu just like Biden did. I don't see why that's going to change. Janine.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, he's clearly, I don't want to say being heavily influenced by Netanyahu's interests or the interests of the Zionist project, but that's what it appears. Every time it gets close to looking like maybe he'll do something in the interests of the Palestinian people or to facilitate his ties with other countries in the Arab world, like when he visited Saudi Arabia and proclaimed that there was going to be an end to neoconservative policy, essentially, he went back. So I just don't think that it can be looked at that way based on historical precedent.
Yeah, but and
you know, it seems to me, if I can interrupt.
Go ahead, jump in.
There's two historical precedents that have to be looked at. Number one was Bin Salman coming to New York City and telling Palestinians to shut up, as he sat and met with AIPAC and ADL and Zionist funders. And number two, it's the Abraham Accords. So yes, the US has a very close nexus with the Gulf states, excluding Kuwait, which is not a signatory, and excluding Qatar, which is not a signatory. But the reality of it is the Abraham Accords is jumping into bed between the West and the Gulf. And the bottom line is, as long as the signatories to the Abraham Accords are desperate to have that area look like Park Avenue, Trump has the day over them. So yes, there are these possibilities of safety valves. But what have we seen from the Arab League to date? We've seen nothing. We've seen no boycotts. We've seen no sanctions. Yeah. We've seen nothing but Kushner getting more and more money and Trump selling more and more of his products in the region. So I see it as their attempt to westernize themselves.
All right. On that thought there, gentlemen and lady, we're going to go to a short break. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on Trump's so-called peace plan. Stay with RT.
I said, the one thing you folks have never done is just say sorry. Apologize for the wrongs that you have done. I mean, they like to claim credit for uniting India. They ended up tarnishing it by actually dividing India when they left. It was a shameful, shameful Brexit.
Слухи о том, что ледяной остров полон тайн и загадок, и те, кто отважился разгадать их, пропали без вести. Когда я об этом узнал, было слишком поздно возвращаться назад.
У американцев есть реальный страх не только у Трампа. Лучше сейчас, как бы, грубо отнять Гренландию у Дании.
Ты понимаешь, какая мощь ползет, вот все вот эти ледники, эти айсберги, видно, как от него отваливается это какой-то большой кусок льда.
Их мнение мне интересовалось. И в этом гренландцы видят пренебрежительное отношение к себе со стороны Соединенных Штатов.
Вы допускаете это, что вот будет какое-то военное противостояние внутри НАТО между Данией, например, и США?
Вы знаете, предполагаю.
Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaVelch. Remind you, we're discussing Trump's peace plan. Okay, let's go back to Janine in Washington. One of the things in reading this document, what I found really quite remarkable, and maybe it doesn't stand out for a lot of Western Western audiences and readers, because in the West, we're kind of indoctrinated with a neocolonial view of the world. But that's exactly what this document is. Palestinians have no agency. They need guardians to protect them. They need outside experts. Well, you know, in my life, I've met a lot of very smart, well-educated Palestinians. They can take care of themselves even under the worst conditions. What is behind this here is that this is this constant, look at the Occident is superior to the rest of the world. It's very much embedded in this document, and that's the approach this administration has.
Right. That's exactly the case. I think it's indicative of the fact that what is happening is these powers really want the land. Of course, the Israeli government, the Israelis want the land. They've made that clear really since the beginning of the founding of Israel, if not before. They want the land without the people. And so they're not really interested in working with the Palestinian people towards peace or towards any kind of state. Any kind of respectable state in which Palestinians have security and the ability to defend themselves. Rather, what they want is to drive the Palestinians out to make life conditions so miserable that they leave. In fact, that's what my father did. He left because he couldn't live under occupation anymore. It was too humiliating. So that's been the plan. That's been the plan the whole time. When somebody like Yitzhak Rabin, who obviously had his flaws, tries to move towards peace and maybe a real two-state solution, he's killed by an Israeli extremist. And the Israeli governments have just become more and more extreme over time. So I think that what we're seeing is just the evolution of that. And I don't think that this plan is a departure from that intention.
Yeah, it's only a continuation of it. You know, Stanley, as soon as this plan was announced, then Trump made demands that the bombing had to stop, which, of course, didn't. And then after Trump had met the Arab leaders, presumably presented his plan, we learned from that meeting there would be no annexation of the West Bank, okay, which everybody ran with. Well, it's already been annexed, okay? I'm not really sure what the big deal was with that statement. But apparently the plan was presented to Netanyahu, and he changed it publicly. But the administration hasn't addressed that. Again, that's why I think this is kind of a fool's errand. There will never be a Palestinian state, and so on and so forth. And that's why we're in early days here. I think all of us are wondering what the clash is going to be, how they're going to mediate this. And I'm talking about the Americans and the Israelis. Stanley.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have a meeting with some federal prosecutors coming up in the next week or two over a very serious case. And there's an agreement that has been sent to me to review. What's most important is not what's missing, but what's there. What's most important from an international, from a legal, just a reality standpoint, is documents have to be clear. They have to be specific. Agreements have to set forth what happens if and when you violate it, what you must do, what you cannot do. The interesting thing in this discussion is I recently heard, I was shocked for the first time, Netanyahu actually say Palestinian.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the ethnic cleansing for 100 years has been reducing Palestinians to Arabs. So you have Arab Israelis. God forbid if there's a Palestinian that's mentioned as a citizen of Israel, even though they're double standard citizens. So again, getting back to the issue that this discussion began with, what's most important is what's not there. There is absolutely no vehicle. It allows for, I mean, my God, a 14-year-old boy, girl, a 7-year-old boy or girl on the ground in Gaza can fall down and hurt themselves, and an Israeli could sprain their ankle if they went to help them. And the next thing you know, the bombers are out because they're blaming the kid. This is a vehicle that absolutely at day's end is meant to finish the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. This is a document in its intent, in its application, in its purpose, and in its Lawrence of Arabia approach says, you don't exist. You've never existed. We're getting rid of you. And my God, even your own brothers and sisters in the Arab League and in the Gulf states agree with us. Ultimately, watch for the Abraham Accords. I have the greatest concern about what's going to happen from them because they are the rubber stamp for Israel. Yeah. My God, if the Arab League or if the signatories to the Abraham Accords send people on the ground to do what? To protect Israelis? To protect the soldiers? It's like the Palestinian Authority security people. Where have they been for 2 years? Forget about Gaza. What about on the West Bank? And the notion of annexation, it's done. There is annexation de jure as a matter of law, and there's annexation as a matter of fact. How many thousands of Palestinian young men and women have disappeared from the West Bank in the last 2 weeks, 3 months? I mean, there's tens of thousands of disappeared people right now.
All the more so, Ali, if this were serious on any level, again, if we use as a sidebar the captives, okay, I think that is the specific thing that Trump is interested in. Netanyahu, you know, he's been indifferent for the last 2 years. But, I mean, if it was a serious plan, why doesn't it include the West Bank? Because it doesn't, and that tells me it's a ruse.
Well, look, again, I think that Trump is trying to strike a balance. On the one hand, you have AIPAC, you have the pro-Israeli lobby, evangelicals, and I think one of the guests mentioned that particular topic and how influential they are on Trump. On the other hand, Trump has to cater to his base, and I think that there are growing voices of dissent in America. Again, the most recent poll, the majority are more sympathetic with the Palestinians. I think for the first time maybe in American history, it's becoming costly to support Israel just as much as it's becoming costly to object to Israel. And that is something which we've never seen before in American politics. Now it's starting to happen. One good example is Mr. Mamadani, who's going to be in the race for the mayor of New York. These are all quite interesting developments, and I think that they just have to be on Trump's mind as he approaches the situation towards Gaza. That's why I'm saying that this time, again, it might be different. One thing which does worry me, however, is that if he does want to stop the war in Gaza, in exchange for what? There have been some interesting movements of American military assets in the region over the last few days. So could there be an exchange whereby, okay, we'll stop the war in Gaza in exchange for another round of war, an Israeli-led war with American participation against Iran?
Well, I mean, are you saying, Ali, it's pause the genocide so Israel and the United States can attack Iran, and once that's done, they continue the genocide? Is that what you're saying?
They can attack Iran, or they can have a certain project under the auspices of Mr. Blair and Mr. Kushner.
Yeah, but the problem I have with this, after Janine, the problem I have with all of this is that after 2 years of genocide, why would they stop now? Because no one is stopping them. The Americans are still on their side. So, I mean, from Netanyahu's logic, he said, if it's not broken, why fix it? No one's stopping us.
Exactly. I mean, if Israel is literally bombing Gaza right now while we're talking about a peace plan, I mean, I think 100 people died in the last 24 hours or 48 hours. I don't know how we can take this seriously at all. There's no threat from the United States to withhold weapons, not even a threat, let alone an intention to carry to follow through on that threat. That needs to be number one. The U.S. cannot continue to provide weapons and diplomatic support for Israel while it continues to occupy and kill Palestinians. And I'd also like to touch on Stanley's earlier point about the West Bank. There, I mean, the plan does not include any detailed attempt to get Israeli settlements out of the West Bank. The West Bank is becoming increasingly more like a prison. I actually have a lot of aunts, uncles, and cousins there. They report that more and more checkpoints. You can basically not move from one city to the other. There's no attempt to deconstruct that at all in the plan. So that's, you know, yet another reason I don't think this can be taken seriously. I think it's just a play on Trump's part.
Yeah, Stanley, let me ask, sorry, we're rapidly running out of time. Okay, I think we all agree. We've mentioned public opinion polls here. Support for the Palestinian cause has grown immensely over the last 2 years, something, you know, I'm still in shock, well, gratified, but it's still shocked by. But Stanley, TikTok has been purchased and other media assets are being purchased by very wealthy Zionists here. And just because the public wants something, we all know this, doesn't mean that's what they get. As a matter of fact, they may get coercion, and they have gotten coercion. Take it from there.
We are a very fickle state. We are a very fickle place. The essence, ultimately, Trump could do what Biden could have done, what Obama could have done. One simple phone call, it's over, it's done. The call's not going to be made. And Ali, I agree with everything you've said except for one part. At one point, you mentioned in Netanyahu, in Trump's mind. He doesn't have a mind. This is someone who floats from one issue to another, from one fly to another. One day he's making believe he's got masks. The next day he's selling
Stanley, only Donald, the idea of Donald Trump can make us laugh during such terrible time. It's amazing. Keep going.
Well, I mean, the reality of it is, with settled, experienced, seasoned people who were focused on trying to bring some dignity, respect, and peace to the region, there is a possibility. It's called shekels. It's called picking up a phone and saying, Netanyahu, you're going to do X or I'm going to do Y, and it's over. Halas, it's done. It's finished. But they don't want to do it because they have this plan, and the other folks on this panel have talked about it. There is this long-range view towards Lawrence of Arabia's reborn. Now it's called Donald. The notion that the West is in a position with what's happened to Israeli attacks on Hezbollah, Israeli assassinations in Iran, Israeli attacks on Yemen, Israeli bombing on Syria, the Golan is gone. What we've seen in the last 2 years in particular, well, even longer, obviously, is this all-out attempt to once and for all westernize completely the Middle East and the Gulf states. And they're willing to do anything. And the fact that we are now seeing a, quote, attempt to bring peace to Palestine, what that means is a peace to Trump, a piece of it to Netanyahu, a piece of it to Europe, and goodbye to the Palestinians. Okay. And yes, the West Bank is nothing but a...
Stanley, I want to give Ali the last 30 seconds. Go ahead, Ali.
I'll just say one thing about TikTok. I mean, the fact that TikTok is going to be sold to pro-Israeli billionaires, that shows you that public opinion does make a difference. If it didn't make a difference, then they wouldn't have gone ahead and sold it to these pro-Israeli billionaires. So I think that's an important factor. And I think that Netanyahu, that's his biggest fear, the change and the shift in American public opinion, because Israel has gone used to having or taking for
granted. What these people are afraid of is the truth. It's as simple as that, and they don't want people to know it. Okay, this has been an absolutely fascinating but too short program. I want to thank my guests in New York, Washington, and in Beirut. And, of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk rules.